Hey, Susie, tell everyone about the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account.
Listen up, everybody. If you want to start the best savings account out there, all you have to do is go to MyAlliant, Alliant.com, open up an account, put in $100 a month every single month for 12 consecutive months, and guess what? At the end of that time, Alliant will give you $100. And while the money's in there, you're going to be earning about 3%. It is the best way for you to save. And while you're there, why not take the Stay Smart in 24 quiz? Yeah, everybody. November 5th, 2022. Welcome, everybody. Susie O here to another edition of the Women and Money podcast, as well as everyone, and I do mean everyone, smart enough to listen. Today is Susie's School, and we are going to talk about Series I bonds again. I know, but something you probably don't know about them. So Series I bonds. We're going to talk about Treasury bill, bonds, and notes, since all of you are still so confused about that topic. And time allowing, we will also talk about real estate and the interest rate on mortgages and my thoughts about that. And of course, my favorite topic, Devon and energy stocks, and where is the price of oil going? Let's start with Series I bonds. As all of you know, on November 1st of this year, the Series I bond rate was set for the next 6 months from November 1st till May 1st, 2023. And that rate was set at 6.48%. But I bonds are made up of two interest rates. The variable interest rate that varies with inflation, and all of us have experienced that now. We watched it go from November of 2021, when it was set at 7.12%, to then May of 2022, where it was set at 9.62%, to now where it is set at 6.48% as of November 2022. It has varied every 6 months according to inflation. But what most of you have probably never experienced is the fixed rate portion of the I bonds. And the fixed rate portion of I bonds is the interest rate that is fixed for the life of that bond. And that rate for November of 2022 happens to be 0.40%. And that will be fixed for the life of that bond. Now, what you need to understand and not get confused about is if you bought a bond before November 1st of 2022, you bought it, let's say, in October to lock in the 9.62% interest rate annualized. When those 6 months of that 9.62% is up, you will get for the next 6 months 6.48% annualized, but you will not participate in the 0.40% fixed rate. You will only get that if you purchase a new I bond starting in 2023. So let's just say January comes about, and now you can purchase I bonds all over again, and you purchase an I bond then. You will get the 6.48% annualized rate. That changes all the time, but it will continue to have the fixed interest rate of 0.40% for the life of the bond, giving you an interest rate of the combination of the two of 6.489%. That is how it is going to work. So I hope I made that clear. Don't think you're going to get that extra 0.40% when your bond rolls over to the new interest rate that you purchased before November 2022. You will only get that 0.40% fixed if you bought it November 1st or later. Got that? Good. Now, the question is going to be, given that that's true, should you continue to buy I-bonds? I have to tell you, at this particular point, I think you should, because that is still a better rate than you can get anywhere. As time goes on, we'll reevaluate that, and I'll tell you what I think. Are you better off buying TIPS? Are you better off buying just straight treasuries? What's the best thing for you to do? But at this point, in my opinion, for really safe money that not necessarily that you want to lock up for the next 20 years, but that you want to lock up for maybe the next 2-3 years or so, I still think a series I-bond is the way to go. So that's what you need to know about that. Many of you have written me and said, Susie, remember you said that you bought I-bonds back in November of 2001 or something like that, whenever I bought them back then, and that you had a fixed rate of 3%, which I still do. What that means, just so you know, is that I have been getting, when the interest rate was at 9.62% annualized, I was getting like 12.62% at that time because of the fixed rate. If fixed rates ever happen to, on I-bonds, go back up again to 1, 2, 3%, now we have a whole nother thing happening there. But just so you know, for now, the fixed portion is at 0.40% and it will stay with that bond forever. Okay. All right. Treasuries. Let's just talk about treasuries. Why this topic is so confusing is beyond me. You keep writing me and you keep saying, Susie, can you just explain the difference between bills, notes, and bonds? And what is the difference between a treasury and a certificate of deposit or anything else that we can buy that gives a fixed interest rate? All right, one more time. A treasury is issued by the United States government, and therefore it is guaranteed by the authority of the United States government, number one. Number two, the maximum that you can buy of a treasury of any kind is $10 million. So in essence, you have the authority of the United States government backing up to a $10 million purchase of a treasury bond. Then maybe you want to do another $10 million in a note. Okay, that's backed by the authority of the United States government. Unlike a certificate of deposit that only carries a $250,000 FDIC or NCUA insurance on it. Now, I've done a podcast before where I talk about how you can get more insurance if you want by adding beneficiaries. But no way, if you're going to invest large sums of money, can you get up to $10 million worth. So you need to know that. The only difference between a bill, a note, and a bond, the only difference is the length of maturity. That's it, people. There is no other difference. Bills are usually short term, a year or under. Notes are about a year or 2 years, all the way up to 10 years. Bonds are 20 and 30 years. The only difference. And when I talk about a 2 year note or a 5 year note, when you purchase one, the interest rate that you are getting at the time is given to you for the entire time until that note, bill, or bond matures. That is the basic difference. A bill is bought at a discount. So if they are giving you, let's just say, a 4% interest rate, you might buy it for $980, and then when it matures, you get $1,000. Again, if you buy a bill, note, or bond through treasurydirect.gov, the minimum purchase is $100. However, you can buy them also through any brokerage firm out there, but if you do, the minimum is $1,000. So bills are sold at a discount where you buy it for X, but it will mature in whether it's 13 weeks or 6 months or whatever at $1,000. If you bought a treasury note, and let's just say the interest was 4%, you would buy it at $1,000 if you bought it at a brokerage firm, for instance. So that means you would get, on $1,000, you would get $40 a year of interest. And that $40 would be divided into 6 month increments. So every 6 months, you would get $20. And that $20 would go directly into your brokerage account. It's really just that simple, everybody. The reason why I've been wanting you to buy treasuries is because, for instance, on Friday, the 2 year treasury hit a 15 year high at 4.88%. So if you had purchased it then, it's a little bit lower right now, but if you had purchased it then, you could have locked in 4.88% on your money, guaranteed by the United States Authority for 2 years. Now, I think that is a great interest rate for safe money. The other thing, though, I want you to understand is this. You can buy treasuries in a retirement account. So let's just say you have a Roth IRA and you were able to buy that 2 year treasury in a Roth IRA. You would be getting 4.88% on your money, essentially tax free. Now that is a big interest rate. I mean, if you were in even, let's just say, the 25% tax bracket, which isn't a very big tax bracket for state and federal tax bracket, that's almost equivalent of you getting a 6.5% taxable yield. That's a lot of money for safe money. So for those of you who for some reason are just like not understanding treasuries, and you're afraid of the stock market going down, and you want your money to be safe and sound, especially the money that you have in retirement accounts. You want, maybe you're older, and you want your retirement money to be absolutely safe and sound. I don't know. I think treasuries are absolutely, for you, the way to go. Maybe you're going to retire in 2 years. Maybe you're going to need this money in 2 or 3 years for you to live on, and you don't want to risk any money whatsoever. What is so wrong with you putting your money in a 2 or 3 year treasury note? For those of you, maybe you want to do what I called a treasury ladder, where you buy 13-week treasury bills, maybe 6-month treasury bills, maybe a 1-year treasury bill, and you go out maybe 5 years. Maybe you put $10,000 in each one so that as interest rates go up, you have money maturing, and maybe you can lock in a higher interest rate. Now, I haven't wanted you, and I still don't want you, to go out really long in treasuries, meaning I don't want you right now to be buying a 10-year treasury note or a 20 or 30-year treasury bond, because I am still of the belief, and I hope I'm not wrong, but I'm still of the belief that they could go up to 5, 5.5%, and then I want you to buy 20 and 30-year treasury bonds. And why is that, everybody? Once again, as interest rates go down, the value of bonds go up. As interest rates go up, the value of bonds go down. Now, somewhere here within 20 or 23, 24, the latest, we hopefully will see that the Fed funds rate and interest rates have tapped out. They're as high as they're going to go for now. Not sure, are they not? Time will tell. But when that happens, maybe they'll stay there for a year or two. Maybe they'll stay high. But eventually, they will start to come down. And when interest rates start to come down, then the value, as I just said, of bonds go up. Bonds that have longer-term maturities go up and down more than bonds that have shorter-term maturities. Now, I've said this over and over again, but too many people are writing in, so I thought I will do it one more time. But the main thing that I want to stress here is that, yeah, you can absolutely buy treasuries with money that you have outside of retirement accounts. Absolutely, you can do that. But a lot of you have been taking your money from where? From your 401k plans, because either you have retired or you're going to retire. You have been doing an IRA rollover with that money. And then you have started to convert little by little into a Roth IRA. Especially for those of you in a Roth IRA, where this money in a treasury, the interest rate on the treasury, could seriously end up being absolutely tax-free to you, it might be something you really, really consider. Have I made sense to you now? I hope so, because I'm telling you right now, I don't care how many of you continue to write in and ask about it. I am not addressing this again until the time comes when I want you to buy 10-year notes or 20 or 30-year treasury bonds. Okay, so you should write the date of this podcast down, November 5th, 2022. Because if you write in, all I'm going to write back to you is November 5th, 2022. Take a listen. Next, let's talk about real estate. Now, real estate is starting to soften, absolutely. And the reason that it's starting to soften right now in prices is because there is more and more inventory that is coming on the market. And the reason that there is more inventory on the market is because it is taking longer for homes to sell. So what's interesting, for instance, if you're in these places such as Nashville or Raleigh, North Carolina, or Phoenix, Arizona, where the real estate market was absolutely so hot, I can't even tell you, the inventory in those three places has actually increased by anywhere from 145% to 174%. And when you have more inventory and less demand for that inventory, then prices have to come down to entice people to want to buy that inventory. Because now people have more choices, they have more time. They're taking their time because mortgage rates are at 7.3%. They are not so anxious to want to buy a piece of property with interest rates at 7.3%. So the only way that you can equalize that out is to bring the price of real estate down. And that is the exact effect that the feds have wanted to have on real estate. A big factor of inflation is they want those prices to come down so that inflation can also come down. When inflation comes down, then a lot of their problems are solved. But until prices on real estate, on rent, on food come down, the feds have problems. And that is why they are going to continue to raise the Fed funds rate until mortgages are so high that all of you are like, I am absolutely not going to buy a home. Like, you know, if you just look at the difference, if let's just say you bought a $500,000 home and you bought it a while ago, you put 20% down, $100,000, and your mortgage interest rate was 3.5% for 30 years, your monthly mortgage would have been $1,796. Even if the prices of real estate came down 20%. You bought a home for $400,000. You put 20% down. And that's only $80,000 now versus $100,000 when it was at $500,000. And so now you have a $320,000 mortgage. That $320,000 mortgage at 7.5% is $2,237. That's a whole lot more. That's almost $441 more for a house that is $100,000 less. So they have to get prices of homes to come down so that they can then lower mortgage rates so that all of you start to buy all over again. So until that happens, you all should be really careful. You're asking, is now a good time to buy a home? I have to tell you, it's really hard pressed to say yes at this moment in time. And the only reason isn't because mortgage rates aren't so high at 7.5%, because there was a time when 6, 7, 8%, as I've said before, isn't that abnormal. But because homes have appreciated so much, it is abnormal. So you might just want to think about that. Or if you go into the real estate market, make an offer that it makes sense, that you offer like 25 or 30% under what they are currently asking. Because then at these interest rates, maybe you'll be paying the same as if you bought a higher priced home at 3.5%. But these are really, really high rates given the appreciation of real estate. So let's just see what happens. And I would not be rushing to buy a home right now. As far as rents go, rents are starting to come down. It's almost like the homeowners who thought that I can keep charging more and more and more because the prices of real estate are going up and up and up. Even now, you're starting to see some reductions in rents. So that is kind of a good sign. You know, what's funny though, is depending on where you live, because in places like Milwaukee and Chicago, the inventories are down by 10%. People are still really buying homes there. So it really depends on the price of the home and what that mortgage payment would be at 7.5%. So just something again for you to think about. Last week, when the market went down big on Wednesday, so did a stock by the name of Devon. Oh, my energy stock that I love so much. And that stock actually went down 13% in one day. At one point, it was down 16 or 17% in one day. And I'm sure a lot of you thought, I need to sell. Oh my God, look, it's going back down again. Remember, I told you that you buy stocks like that for the dividend. The reason that Devon went down is because they cut their dividend from $1.55 a share to $1.35 a share. It's still essentially at $70 a share. It went back up again the next day and on Friday, by the way. It's still approximately at $1.35 a share. It's going to be around an 8% dividend at this price. Still a fabulous dividend. When a company cuts its dividend, it doesn't necessarily mean that the company is in trouble because its reports were fabulous. It means that they're possibly preparing, because everybody is starting to come down on energy companies, to really step up and start to drill more, start to do more, start to pass more of their profits down in prices so that you don't have to pay as much in gasoline costs. So I still love Devon, and I don't have a problem with it whatsoever, for those of you who are wondering. What you do need to be prepared for, however, is do not be shocked to see, once again, the price of gasoline go up significantly when you go in for a refill. We're now at almost $92 a barrel, up a big 4 or 5% from where it was just the other day. So you have to be prepared for that. Now, when that starts to happen again, here we go with inflation. Inflation, rather than going down, may very well start to go up. When you see the Mississippi River dry up and all of those container ships not being able to ship their cargo via the Mississippi River, there goes the price again of the food that's delivered on those ships. So do not be surprised if you see us going into a situation where gasoline is more expensive again, food costs are more expensive again. We also have a situation where China is almost being forced to open up again. And when they open up again, you are going to see things like energy, all those things start to go up again. You're also going to see this winter, Ukraine and Europe having a very hard time with energy. So do not abandon your energy stocks at this point in time. So I think that brings us to the end of this Susie School. Now, there is one more thing that I want to bring you all up to date on. You know, I'm a Gemini. You know how KT always says, Susie always changes her mind, and I do. So I'm going to make one more change that I said I might make, and in the end here, I'm going to make. What is that change, Susie-O? Remember how the podcast always dropped on Thursday and Sunday mornings? And then somehow I got this idea, well, let's drop it on Wednesday and Saturday nights. But it doesn't seem to be fitting into our schedule. It's not quite working for me. So therefore, starting next Sunday, we are going to go back to our original schedule of dropping a podcast on Sunday mornings and Thursday mornings. So I just thought I would tell you that. All right, everybody, there's only one thing that I want you to remember when it comes to your money, and it is this. I want you all to be smart, strong, secure. Just that simple. Really, just that simple. Now you stay safe. Bye-bye, everybody. We can't give.
Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman is acting as a certified financial planner, advisor, a certified financial analyst, an economist, CPA, accountant, or lawyer. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman make any recommendations as to any specific securities or investments. All content contained in this podcast is for informational and general purposes only and does not constitute financial accounting or legal advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and financial advisors regarding your particular situation. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman accepts any responsibility for any losses which may arise from accessing or reliance on information in this podcast. And to the fullest extent permitted by law, we exclude all liability for loss, damages, direct or indirect, arising from the use of this information. The must-have documents discussed in this podcast are legal documents created by a lawyer and distributed by Hay House.